Kia ora, Bulavanaka, Talofa Lava, Halo, Kia orana, Halo Oketa, and a warm welcome to the Business Link Pacific podcast series. Business Link Pacific connects small and medium-sized businesses in the Pacific Islands region with local, quality business advice. Hosted by Barbara Wilkinson from Business Link Pacific, this podcast series showcases experienced professionals from our growing network. Business advice is more important now than ever before and is the key to business recovery. Join us as our guests share invaluable expertise and a unique view on doing business in the Pacific Islands.
Hello and welcome to the Business Link Pacific podcast series. I'm your host, Barbara Wilkinson. Earlier this year, Business Link Pacific expanded its services to the Cook Islands. In this podcast, we talked to Evelyn Hayden, Vice President of Engagement at the Cook Islands Chamber of Commerce. Evelyn is from Wellington in New Zealand, and she's lived in the Cook Islands for nearly 5 years. She spent over 20 years, though, in New Zealand financial markets, primarily trading in securitized debt, and 3 years in business consulting. Evelyn joined the executive committee of the Cook Islands Chamber of Commerce 2 years ago, and last year she was elected Vice President of Engagement. Evelyn is here to discuss the current business environment in the Cook Islands and the role of the Chamber in supporting SMEs. Kia ora, Evelyn. Welcome to the Business Link Pacific podcast. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Kia ora, Barbara. Thank you. Mai tiki mai ata.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So just to start off with then, Eve, perhaps you could tell us about the role of the Cook Islands Chamber of Commerce.
Well, the Chamber of Commerce is, like all chambers, really a membership-based organisation for the private sector. In the Cook Islands, we have members are probably more the medium to larger size businesses. Many other private sector companies are members of sub-associations like the Tourism Industry Council or the Bankers Association or the Business Women's Network. But really it all sort of flows through to the Chamber being the voice of the private sector. And we are the employer's representative too on the Tripartite Committee for the International Labour Organization. So being the sort of small economy that we are, we do get involved. There aren't many layers in the country, for example. We're very, very close to the top civil servants and business leaders. We do a lot of consultations with international agencies and funders, and we also get involved a lot in the reviewing of policy and legislation. So the opposition party are pretty much part-time, and so they have other jobs as well, so they don't get too involved in some of the nitty-gritty detail of any proposed changes. So we spend an awful lot of time reviewing papers and documents and providing feedback and input to government.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like you're a real focal point for business and also, as you say, in politics as well, really, for the government too.
Well, that's right. But that's ended up to be quite good in terms of the economic response package for COVID-19. So, we were able to mobilise pretty quickly and organise meetings and write papers of recommendations pretty quickly.
Mm, oh, that's amazing. So can you just remind me, the population of the Cook Islands, it's pretty small, isn't it? What is that population?
Well, between sort of 15 and 16,000, I think, but the majority of the population is in Rarotonga. So we have 15 islands. Some of them have only got a few hundred people, some of them even less. So the main population is on the island of Rarotonga.
Okay. And so my understanding is that tourism is by far the most important industry sector for the Cook Islands.
Yes, without a doubt. So, yeah, around 85% of GDP is really directly related to tourism-type businesses. So it's interesting, again, during COVID-19 to have provided support for businesses, and we might market people coming in, and they didn't realise that actually they relied on tourism as well, and their business had just dried up since the tourists stopped coming.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems to me that I was reading somewhere that you've got something like 10 times your population that normally visit Cook Islands as tourists, so that's quite significant, isn't it? So considering the impact then of COVID-19, how are people feeling, and what's the current business environment in the Cook Islands?
Well, we've been pretty lucky compared to other Pacific Islands in that we do have a level of social protection here, and the government, we're pretty fiscally responsible in having a reserve fund set aside, which is almost $60 million. So that has been really useful to ensure that money has been able to be distributed pretty fairly and evenly to enable a local economy to still function.
Okay, so... So in terms of recovery then, you kind of feel like you've got that reserve that you can draw on. What are some of the ideas that are coming out and opportunities that are coming out of that recovery thinking?
Well, there's been a lot of talk. There's two camps, really. There's been a lot of talk from a lot of people around the need for diversification. But, you know, it's like writing a business continuity plan where you're in a disaster. You know, you should really be thinking about these things and writing these things when times are good. And then your mind is quite clear. So there's been an awful lot of investment, both not just foreign investment, but an awful lot of local investment that's gone into creating the tourism market and creating products and services that all surround that. So to try and diversify into any other product right now, it would take, you know, a lot more investment, and the payback would be a lot less over a longer period of time. So for us, the focus really has to be about getting the tourism market back up and running. And then, you know, once we're on the path of recovery, is to then think about other potential industries that, you know, could be developed in the future.
So opening up that Pacific bubble is really quite important for Cook Islands, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And of course, you know, to go back a little bit, it seems to go back 6 months, to go back a lifetime at the moment, because when life was a bit normal. But March for us is a very interesting month anyway, because we're quite seasonal here in our tourist visitors. So basically when New Zealand is cold, we get most of our visitors. So 70% of our guests come from New Zealand, about 10% from Australia, and the rest, you know, scattered around the world, but really mainly North America, Canada, and Europe. So the Europeans and the North Americans and Canadians tend to come down here in their winter, so in our late year, early year. But the numbers are a lot less than between, say, April and October, when the New Zealanders generally come. So what we are concerned about really is that, yes, we might open the bubble in the next 6 weeks, which would be pretty amazing, but we might get an absolute influx of people who would normally go to other Pacific Islands as well. But we are concerned that, you know, in 5 or 6 months, we may not see, it's most likely we won't be seeing in that time frame the Americans and Canadians and Europeans coming. So things are going to be grim for quite a while. We'll never get back to the numbers that we were, not for a few years anyway, we're not expecting.
So at the Chamber of Commerce then, what sort of services are you offering to small and medium-sized businesses?
Well, I guess that's the transformation that we've undertaken in the last 6 months. So prior to COVID, we basically did a lot of the consultation and engagement meetings. We met as an executive once a month. We had a few membership meetings a year where we might have guest speakers. And we had one staff member there to provide information and support for example, new businesses or people who had wanted some advice. Springboard to COVID, we set up the private sector task force to basically deal with the economic emergency that was, you know, quite apparent was going to happen. And we luckily or happily received some funds from the Ministry of Finance to do that. So we have been providing on-the-ground support to enable businesses and sole traders to access financial assistance through the government packages. So the system that they did to deliver the economic recovery stuff through was actually the superannuation system. Because there was no unemployment benefit here, there was no actual mechanism to get payments out to people. So they used the superannuation system. But, of course, a lot of people, the informal sector in particular, were not members of the superannuation system. They'd never signed up and they never made payments. So basically we were on the ground with laptops and internet access, creating email addresses, enabling them to subscribe to the superannuation system so that they could then apply for their business grants. So we have seen hundreds of people and businesses through the office in the last 6 months just to help them through that process.
Wow, so that sounds like you've really sort of digitised or got people on board with digitising their information. That's quite amazing.
It is amazing, and the government said quite openly and upfront that they would not be looking back at anybody's information. They would be looking forward. So, and I think that statement made people a little less concerned that they were suddenly going to be captured in the system and have to pay taxes back, you know, going back forever. But they will be somewhat caught going forward. And so I guess that's our opportunity next, is to educate, train, provide advice and support to enable those that were previously in the informal sector have now come into the formal sector, and to make sure they've got the tools and knowledge to enable them to do that.
Wow. Well, that's fantastic. So I see one of your other services is around business mentoring. So is that a free service that you offer to businesses?
We've received funding in the past through something called the Social Impact Fund, and that was to provide mentors to do one-on-ones and ongoing support for businesses. And to date, we have used some mentors from New Zealand, actually. I think we're members of the Business Mentoring Group. This was originally funded by NZAID, but for the last few years has been funded by the Social Impact Fund, which is the Cook Islands government. So about four times a year, the mentors have flown in and meetings are arranged, and they just do one-on-one confidential engagements with these businesses.
Well, that's fantastic.
I think this year was our 11th year of running that program. But, of course, now we will be reviewing how that works in the future. I mean, both by way of we've all become Zoom-capable, and we don't really need to be there in physical sense all the time. And also because we've been providing that support on the ground anyway, we might just have a look, rescope. It's always good to review these things and to see what's required in the future rather than just use the same methods that you used in the past.
Yeah, and I see that you also have a youth enterprise scheme, and I mean, I know that entrepreneurial skills are so important in the Pacific. You know, often there's not enough jobs to match the number of school leavers, for example, that are joining the workforce each year. So, you know, you have to be entrepreneurial to start your own business. Learning entrepreneurial skills is so important. How's that program going?
It's going very well, actually. So we're just at the moment at the last end of it. So we'll be having the, we still call it the Dragon's Den over here, but next year I understand we'll need to call it the Pitch. There's four groups involved this year. They've got some pretty awesome products. One is an organic ice cream product. One is organic perfumes. One is some technology-based that goes on to test the pressure in your water pipes, believe it or not. And the fourth one, can't quite recall what the fourth one is right at the moment, but they're all very good products, very well attended launch. We did the launch a few weeks ago. I think there was about 200 people that attended, which was really awesome.
Wow.
And from the Chamber's point of view, we will definitely be continuing that on. We're just signing a perpetuity agreement with the Youth Enterprise Trust in New Zealand to do that. But what the Chamber's good news is that we are also going to set up basically an emerging leaders chapter of the Chamber, and that is to get the kids that leave from entrepreneurial sort of senior school leavers that may not be going to university, or they may have come back here, want to start a business, but we really want to start to make sure that they recognise they are also part of the business community, and to be able to offer them some support, advice and some space to work at if they need it.
Wow, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
So I understand as well that there's an upcoming training program that the Chamber of Commerce is implementing in partnership with BLP. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, we're very pleased to have BLP support in this. We're not only going to be, you know, helping them launch BLP services in the Cook Islands, which is the normal sort of way that BLP work, but BLP have recognised actually that you know, our businesses are very, very small. And I think initially the numbers through BLP were between 5 and 50 employees as we were targeting, you know, some business help and advice. But really, there are the majority of people here under 5 employees. So our programs initially that we're developing are very much aimed at that sort of market. And our first ones in particular are going to be aimed at basically the micro-enterprise people, the people who were previously informal and are now formal, and providing them those actual hands-on tools and training that will enable them to be compliant with tax, with regulation, and keeping records, working online, all of those sorts of things. So we just finalised that program, are finalising that this week, and we hope to do our first test run next week.
Oh, that sounds amazing. How do you actually envision the future working relationship with BLP?
Well, I think it would be good to think we could have an ongoing relationship in terms of it's very difficult here to get funding for operational stuff. It's, you know, a lot of it's around program funding and you've got to have, you know, outputs and all that sort of stuff. What the Chamber is really struggling with is actually being able to pay for rent and people to be there to provide just ongoing support. So we have kind of received some funding from BLP for 3 months and we're going to be using it to do just that. But our challenge in the future is going to be to provide that further than that.
Okay, well, that sounds great. So, Eve, I'm just going to ask you as well. So, Eve, what are the BLP services that Cook Islands Chamber of Commerce are going to be offering?
Well, we've just completed some training this week on the diagnostic tools that BLP have and the business health check. And that'll enable us at the very onset to steer any potential applicant into the right area for further training. So once we identify what gaps they may have in their knowledge or their business, we can enable them then to go online and we can help them with that to work out what advisors may be available to support their, you know, whatever their requirements are.
That sounds great. So Eve, why do you think BLP is good for the Cooks?
Well, I think it's a way of getting some real practical help into the private sector. Private sector people aren't too used to sort of putting their hands up and going to a university course or to into the tertiary training institute over here to get some targeted help, advice and training. So I think BLP, in the way that it's set up across the Pacific, is going to be very useful, particularly in the Cook Islands, for small businesses.
Okay. So right now, Eve, what do you think the key challenges are that businesses are facing in Cook Islands?
I think the key challenges is revenue into businesses. Cash flow, I guess. People are very, very concerned at the moment around we've been promised the wage subsidy till the end of September. So businesses are now really focusing past September if the border is not open. What is going to happen with the wage subsidy? If there is no wage subsidy paid by the government, then there will be a tsunami of redundancies. And along with that will become some real human cost, and that'll be our migrant workers. The Cook Islands is a very special Pacific Island in that the people here are New Zealanders, so they hold New Zealand passports. So they have free passage or right to work and live in New Zealand. So our labour mobility problem is quite unlike other Pacific Islands where they export workers. We very much rely on our migrant workers to provide jobs for all of those areas that we have gaps. So housekeeping, cleaners, gardeners, a lot of the restaurant and cafe type workers are migrant workers. If they are sent back to their own countries, there's going to be two issues, one of which is if we get a lot of tourists all at once because the border suddenly opens, we won't have the labour here to support it, or may not if this happens. And two, if we send those migrant workers back into their own countries, those countries may, given that we can get them back across borders, you know, there's no social protection in those countries. You know, we have a lot of Fijians here, and as you know, Fiji is in a pretty bad state too. they suddenly get a whole lot of more Fijians going back into the islands with Bonani, it's going to create a real crisis, I think. So that is on the back of everybody's minds as well.
So really that Pacific bubble is really very important to the whole economy, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I mean, we do have other revenues, like we have some fishing rights revenues, but really when you add all those other bits and pieces, we have a bit of an offshore banking industry here that provides revenue and also provides good jobs for good Cook Islanders, you know, qualified Cook Islanders. But really, most of our revenue here is tourism related. So, it's going to be tragic in the next few months if we continue to have no tourists here.
And I guess, after September, you're moving into your lower season as well, tourist-wise, so that would take a natural drop, even if that Pacific bubble did open.
That's exactly right. And if we have, multiple countries opening up at once, then we'll all be competing for the same tourists, basically, and prices will probably take a drop as a result. So there'll be some downward pressure on pricing, potentially, which, of course, means that there'll be other issues along with cash flow with that.
Yeah, and with New Zealand as your key market, we'll be heading into summer. So, a number of challenges. So it sounds, though, like the Chamber is really in a good position to support businesses. You're doing some fantastic work there, supporting the industry and the government to get across all of these things. What's the best way for people to get in touch with the Chamber?
There's a number of ways they can get hold of the Chamber. We have a website, www.cookislandschamber.org. We have an email address, which is chamber@commerce.co.ck. And we're pretty active on social media, so check out our Facebook page. We do multiple posts on there.
That's fantastic. Thanks very much, Eve. It's been great talking to you today. I think that's been so interesting. I've learned lots about the Cook Islands and, clearly tourism is so important to your country and the work that you're doing to open up that Pacific bubble is absolutely critical. As you say, that communication piece is absolutely critical as well. And it really sounds like you've got some great services that you're offering to SMEs to help them get back on track and keep going during the COVID crisis. So thanks very much. It's been lovely talking to you. Any other final comments?
No, we just continue our good relationship with BLP, hopefully, and we hope to do the right thing in promoting the BLP services, which in the end will benefit the Cook Islands companies over here.
That's great. Thanks so much.
Okay.
If you're interested in connecting with a business advisor in the Cook Islands, you can contact Brendan Welsh, BusinessLink Pacific's in-country representative in the Cook Islands, on ci@businesslinkpacific.com to set up a consultation. If you're not sure what type of advice you need, our free online essential business tools can help you identify where there may be gaps in your business that could benefit from quality business advice and support. From there, you can connect with the right business advisor for your needs. Visit businesslinkpacific.com and click on the Essential Business Tools tab to get started. Thank you for joining us for this Business Link Pacific podcast, and many thanks to Eve for sharing her expertise and insights with us today. Please join us for our next podcast, where we'll chat with another special guest from our Business Link Pacific Advisor Network. Until then, thanks for listening.
Stay connected with BusinessLink Pacific by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. BusinessLink Pacific, connect your business with quality advice.